The holidays can bring out the best food and the worst habits. Between pushy relatives, old traditions, and that pressure to be on, it's easy to lose control before you even realize it. In this episode, I'll show you how to navigate the season without the stress, guilt, or extra fluff on your arms. You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, Arm Coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 92. You know what really throws most women off during the holidays? It's not the mashed potatoes or the pie. It's the mental chaos that comes with all of it. I'm going to teach you how to handle the biggest traps that keep women from feeling confident, strong, and in control through the holidays. Because when you can manage your mind around food, family, and all the noise, everything else gets easier. You'll glide through the season feeling calm in your body and proud of your choices, still sculpting your arms, still honoring your plan, and not missing out on a single thing that actually matters. Let's start with one of the biggest culprits, the food pushers. And you know who I mean, the aunt who insists, oh, come on, one bite won't hurt. The coworker who brings her famous fudge and practically holds it in your face. Here's the truth though, food pushers aren't villains. They're not trying to sabotage your results. They're just following the same script you've always given them. Their thought process sounds like, I'm offering her food like I always do. She says yes, like she always does. And honestly, they're trained by you. Every time you said yes when you didn't want to, you taught them to expect it. Maybe you didn't want to disappoint them. Maybe you just needed a break from some rigid plan that made you miserable. Or maybe you were grumpy and hangry on your last fitness kick, and they remember that version of you too. So of course, they try to shove dessert in your hand. They remember that when you ate, you were fun. When you dieted, you were cranky. From their perspective, they're helping you be happy. Here's the thing. Nobody really knows why people push food. Maybe they want you to just relax. Maybe they feel guilty eating alone. Or maybe it's just habit, the same way your brain automatically grabs a cookie when it smells cinnamon and butter. But I don't waste time trying to psychoanalyze them, because the moment I assume I train them to do this, I take back all the power. They're not villains. They're just running the same play you taught them. When I think they just don't know any better, I don't need to get angry or offended. I don't need to roll my eyes or wish they'd stop or start ranting about how no one supports my goals. Because guess what? It's not their job to protect your results. It's yours. It's my job to not eat food I didn't plan for. It's my job to protect my priorities, the arms I've worked for, the body I want to live in, and the self-trust I'm building one no thank you at a time. And I can do it without acting like I'm being punished at the party. You get to say no without huffing, rolling your eyes, or sounding disgusted. You just smile and say, no thanks, I'm good. That's it. No drama required. And let's be real, you guys are going to have to get over it. The holidays come with food. That's the deal. You can either waste all your emotional energy wishing people would stop offering you pie, or you can use that same energy to keep promises to yourself. You can sit through the meal irritated that everyone else is eating whatever they want, or you can sit there calm, proud, and in charge of your own plate. That's the woman who walks out of the room strong, toned, and mentally unshaken. Not because the food wasn't there, but because she learned to stop arguing with reality. Let's make some decisions right now, because waiting until the pie is in your face is too late. You need to know who's running the show in that moment, you or the buffet table. Okay, here's what I want you to decide ahead of time. Number one, I choose what I do and do not eat. There's nothing I can't have, right? Because you're a grown woman, not a toddler being told no by a babysitter. You could eat the cookie. You're just choosing not to, because your goal matters more than 5 seconds of frosting. That distinction changes everything. Number two, people aren't out to get you. Your family isn't plotting against your triceps. Your friends aren't trying to sabotage your arms. They just want you to join them in the way they know how, right? Through food. You can decide that comes from a good place instead of spinning in the irritation that no one supports you. It's optional to be offended, always. Okay, number three, you can think something looks amazing and still not eat it. Wanting it doesn't mean you're deprived. You know, you're not going to die if you want a brownie and don't have one. That little ache of wanting, that's just desire flexing, and you can handle it. You've survived so much worse than craving pie. Now, let's talk about the guilt trips, because they're coming. Someone will say, oh, I made this just for you, or you'll hurt my feelings if you don't try it. Or the classic, what? You don't like my cooking? Here's the truth. People often want you to eat so they can feel good. They want to believe you're happy, relaxed, connected. And for years, food has been the shortcut for that. But this year, you're doing something different. You're learning how to create connection without the fork. You're learning that someone not loving the new you doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means you're evolving. Their discomfort isn't your problem to fix. Your job is to keep respecting your own choices, because every no thank you you give from calm confidence is another rep for your self-trust muscle. And that, my friend, is how you start sculpting your arms and your identity at the same time. All right, I need to warn you about a sneaky little trap that your brain loves to fall into this time of year. It sounds like this. I'm going to hurt her feelings, or they're all going to be disappointed in me. You start the drive to your mom's house, rehearsing apologies in your head before you've even parked the car. By the time you walk in, you're already tense, anxious, and on edge. And when you feel dread and guilt before dinner even starts, guess what happens? You eat the food just to get relief. Or you say no, but with that irritated, crabby tone that makes everyone uncomfortable, including you. That's not control. That's emotional exhaustion disguised as politeness. So here's the deal. If you want to handle the holidays different this year, you've got to start thinking differently before you even get there. You need thoughts that reassure you, not rattle you. Because trust me, no one at that dinner table found enlightenment over the past year. They're going to act exactly how they did last year. Your mom will still ask if you're eating enough. Your sister will still brag about her stuffing recipe. Your dad will still pour you wine before you even sit down. Nothing's gone wrong. The first thing that you need to do is quit imagining the worst case scenario. Stop writing horror movies in your head about how they'll never forgive you for skipping dessert, or how they'll secretly think you're ungrateful. Right? Instead, try giving people the benefit of the doubt. Assume they love you enough to feel a tiny sting of disappointment, and also that they'll forget about it in 3 weeks when the next crisis rolls around. You don't have to overeat to prove you care. You don't have to eat their feelings to protect yours. Your job is to stay calm in your own mind, to stop predicting doom over the plate of cookies. Because when you stop letting fear run the show, you finally get to enjoy the holiday for what it's supposed to be: connection, not consumption. Before you head into any holiday situation, I want you to decide ahead of time how you want to think and feel when other people are disappointed in you. Because here's what usually happens. You sit there worried that saying no to cookies makes you a bad person. Your brain whispers, you're selfish, you're making them feel rejected, you're ruining the moment. And the second you believe that story, cookies start looking like a great solution, because eating feels easier than sitting in guilt. But guilt is just one interpretation. You could just as easily decide that saying no to food you don't want is the most honest and caring thing that you can do. It's you saying, I respect you and me enough to be real. What if you made it mean you're teaching people who the new you is, the version of you who shows up confident and calm around food, not defensive or apologetic? The woman who's no longer saying yes just to keep the peace while quietly breaking promises to herself. Yeah, okay, they might feel a little disappointed in the moment, but listen, they'll get over it, probably in 5 minutes, right after they find someone else to offer pie to. Meanwhile, if you cave and eat off plan, you won't get over it so fast. You'll carry that decision for weeks. It'll chip away at your self-belief and make you question whether you can really trust yourself when things get uncomfortable. That's why this is the work. Practicing short-term emotional discomfort on purpose, because tomorrow you'll wake up proud. You'll have your integrity intact, your confidence growing, and your arms one rep stronger. Not from lifting weights, but from lifting your standards. All right, we've handled food pushers. Now let's talk about their cousins, right? The opinion pushers. You know exactly who I mean. The ones who can't resist offering commentary on your body, your plate, or your life choices, right? From the blatantly rude, wow, are you still watching what you eat? To the ones who say something sugary, you don't need to lose anything, honey. But somehow it still stings. And then there's the classic bless their heart crew, the ones who truly don't mean harm, but manage to hit every nerve anyway. So listen, everyone's going to have an opinion, and my job is to help you think on purpose about what you hear. This is where you take back your power, okay? Before the next gathering, I want you to imagine exactly what those people might say. You already know their greatest hits. Maybe it's your aunt commenting on your tiny portions, or your brother-in-law asking if you even eat real food anymore. Now, pause and notice what you think when you hear it. Write it down. Then plug it into the think, feel, act cycle, because that's where your real control lives. When you identify what you thought and how it made you feel, you get to ask yourself, do I actually want to keep this thought? Do I like the result it creates for me? Sometimes, yeah, you'll keep it. If someone's being intentionally rude, it's fair to think, I don't tolerate people talking to me like that. That thought feels strong, protective, and clean. But then there are the sneaky ones, the thoughts that sound true but cut deep, like, I knew I wasn't good enough, or they must be right. That's where you catch yourself. When people say words to you, that's all they are, words. They're just an invitation to decide what you'll believe about you. Their opinion doesn't become truth unless you co-sign on it in your mind. So when someone takes a jab at your weight or your plate, don't join in by mentally throwing yourself under the bus. You get to be the bouncer of your own brain. Decide who gets in and who gets turned away, because that's what naturally toned women do. They don't let random comments dictate their self-worth. They stay grounded, self-respecting, and unbothered. By running through the typical things people might say ahead of time, you give yourself a gift most people don't even realize they need: a clear head. You've already coached yourself before the chaos starts. You've examined your own thoughts, decided how you want to feel, and build the muscle to let other people's words slide right off you. That's emotional strength disguised as calm. Okay. Now let's talk about a different kind of challenge: changing family traditions. Maybe this is the first year you're visiting multiple families. Maybe someone's missing from the table. Maybe the plans are just different. And when things change, your brain does what all human brains do. It freaks out. It's scanning for danger, wondering, how's this going to go? Who's going to be upset? Will this even feel like the holidays? And then, just to make things worse, your brain starts scrolling through every glossy, perfectly lit image on social media. Families in matching pajamas, tables that look like magazine covers, everyone smiling like they don't have a single unresolved issue. So your brain compares that fantasy to your real life and starts screaming, something's gone wrong. Here's the good news: nothing's wrong. Your brain's just reacting to uncertainty. That's what it's built to do. Once you recognize that, you can calm it down by giving it equal airtime. Ask yourself, what could be even better about this year? What could actually be great about the change? That's how you steer your brain back into curiosity instead of chaos. But what about everyone else's brains? Because let's be real, you might be managing your own thoughts, right? But they probably aren't. Your loved ones are used to rituals. They like knowing what's coming. It gives them a false sense of control. Take that away and they'll lose their footing a bit. So then cue the drama. Your mom might call you crying because you're eating dinner with your partner's family first. Suddenly, you've ruined Christmas because ham is being served at 7 instead of 5. Here's where you remember: you have tools. They don't. You know thought work, right? They know tradition. So when they freak out, you don't need to join them. Instead, cut them some slack. Their brains are just doing what brains do, trying to cling to certainty. And honestly, you can relate. You're learning to loosen your own grip. So don't be shocked that your mom's mad. Don't be offended that your sister's dramatic. Just manage your mind around their freak out. You get to be the calm one, the one who understands that people you love are simply swimming in thoughts and feelings they've never been taught to manage. And remember, if you're still learning to manage your own, be gentle with yourself too. This isn't about being perfect. It's about showing up with a little more patience, a little more grace, and a lot less emotional whiplash. So before we wrap up, let's talk about something no one really prepares for. And that's holiday triggers. Not the cute kind, like triggered by how good the fudge smells, but the kind that sneak up and make you question your sanity. Knowing these are normal is everything. Because when you expect them, you stop being blindsided. You can plan how you'll think and feel ahead of time. So you show up for yourself instead of slipping into old patterns. So here are a few common ones. You might spend time with family that stirs up painful or unhappy memories. You might pressure yourself to create the perfect holiday, right? Perfect gifts, perfect house, perfect dinner and end up feeling like a failure when it doesn't match the fantasy. Maybe you're carrying the weight of people who never react how you want them to, no matter how hard you try. Or maybe you don't feel connected to the holiday at all, right? The world's celebrating and you feel outside of it. Sometimes it's quieter than that. You just have too much time off, right? Your structure disappears and suddenly you don't trust yourself without the routine. Listen, that's all normal. It doesn't mean you're broken. It means you're human. So here's what helps. Don't isolate. Give your days some gentle structure, right? Something doable. Check in with people who get you, right? Tell the people who love you how they can support your healthy lifestyle instead of assuming they'll just know. Okay, and then journal. Journal through the hard stuff, especially the memories that sting. Getting those thoughts out of your head and onto paper lets you separate the past from the present. And then lower your expectations. The fantasy holiday doesn't exist outside of commercials. So create the version that's realistic and kind. Before gatherings, check your default thoughts. Notice how you usually feel walking in and then choose how you want to think instead. And be creative with gifts. The people who matter most probably want your time, your words, or your presence more than your money. When it comes to food and emotions, have a plan B. If you start to feel triggered, take a break. And that might mean going to the bathroom, maybe step outside, text a friend, and remind yourself, I have my own back right now. You don't need food to fix a feeling. You just need a breath and a little compassion. And maybe the best thing you can do this year is redefine celebration itself, right? Find new ways to connect and make memories that don't revolve around overeating or overdrinking, because you're not missing out. You're showing up. The holidays don't have to be perfect to be powerful. You get to decide what you want this season to feel like, and then you get to create it one thought at a time. The best gift you can give anyone, including yourself, is a version of you filled with love, calm, and self-respect. That's who walks into the new year strong. That's who builds naturally toned arms and a life that feels really good to live in. Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to Sculpted Arms Together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.